Blood oaths usually end in submission or death, never in absolute defiance. Yet when a fragile human girl stood trembling before the most ruthless Lycan monarch in history, she refused to kneel. She looked directly into his glowing amber eyes and said no. His reaction rewrote their terrifying world. Snow lashed against the towering stained glass windows of Æthelgard Keep, casting fractured prisms of bloody red and icy blue across the obsidian floor. Inside the cavernous great hall, the air was thick with the suffocating scent of terror and damp pine. It was the night of the decennial tithe, a brutal tradition born from the ashes of a centuries-old war. Humans from the surrounding lowlands were offered as thralls to the Lycan nobility, a living tax to maintain the fragile peace. Among the shivering line of 20 captives stood Rosalind Hayes, a 20-year-old baker's daughter from the modest village of Oakhaven. Rosalind was never meant to be a tribute. Historical ledgers recovered from the local magistrate, Arthur Croft, revealed she had been forcibly substituted at the last moment to spare a wealthy merchant's daughter. Worse still, Rosalind was a marked human. High on her left collarbone sat a jagged, silvered scar, the crescent bite of a feral lesser wolf from an attack years prior. In Lycan society, a mark from an unranked wolf was a brand of profound dishonor. It rendered her damaged goods an insult to any high-born beast who might claim her. She was brought here not to be chosen, but to be discarded, likely sent to the brutal labor camps in the northern iron mines. Silence slammed into the hall like a physical weight. The heavy oak doors at the far end groaned open, and the Lycan king entered. King Leander Vane was a terrifying sovereign, a towering mass of raw power and lethal grace. He had ruled for a century, with an iron claw securing his borders through ruthless military campaigns. Unlike his hedonistic lords, Leander was ascetic cold and entirely uninterested in the pleasures of human thralls. He had not taken a mate, nor had he ever claimed a tribute. Dressed in boiled leather and a mantle of midnight black fur, his mere presence made the ancient stone pillars of the hall vibrate. Beside him walked his loyal military strategist, Commander Desmond, and the cunning Lady Vivian, a high-born female who had long sought to secure her place at the king's side. As Leander walked down the line, the human tributes collapsed to their knees, pressing their foreheads against the freezing stone. It was the mandated posture of absolute submission. If a Lycan stopped before you, you exposed your neck. If they passed, you lived another day in obscurity. Leander moved with predatory indifference, his glowing amber eyes barely registering the cowering humans. Commander Desmond walked a step behind, holding the registry of names, while Lady Vivian sneered at the trembling peasants. The king was about to bypass the line, entirely signaling the end of the ceremony, when a strange scent caught his attention. It was not the sour stench of fear, nor the salty tang of despair. It was the sharp metallic scent of cold iron, blooming lavender, and raw, unadulterated defiance. Leander stopped. He turned slowly, his heavy boots echoing like war drums, and stopped directly in front of Rosalind. Every Lycan in the hall stiffened. Lady Vivian's fan snapped shut. Commander Desmond gripped the hilt of his broad sword. The king was not supposed to stop. Rosalind's heart hammered a frantic rhythm against her ribs, but she did not break his gaze. She was the last in line, the damaged tribute. Protocol dictated she immediately drop to her knees and bear the crescent scar on her neck. Her father had died defending her from the rogue wolf that gave her that mark. She would not demean his sacrifice by cowering before another beast, even if he wore a crown. "Kneel," Commander Desmond barked from behind the king, his voice cracking like a whip. Rosalind locked her knees. Her worn leather boots remained planted firmly on the obsidian floor. She tilted her chin upward, her hazel eyes meeting the terrifying, luminescent amber of the Lycan King. "I will not," she stated. Her voice was quiet, lacking any tremor, carrying through the dead, silent hall like a ringing bell. A collective gasp rippled through the gathered nobility. Several Lycan lords half shifted their claws, elongating eyes, flashing in sudden outrage at the sheer audacity. To refuse the king was treason. To do it as a marked, damaged human was a guaranteed execution. Lady Vivian let out a sharp, cruel laugh. "Tear her throat out, Leander. The beast who marked her clearly left her diseased in the mind." Leander didn't move. He stepped closer, towering over Rosalind's small frame. The heat radiating from his massive body was suffocating. He leaned down, his face mere inches from hers. Rosalind could see the gold flecks in his eyes, the sharp cut of his jaw, and could feel the predatory rumble vibrating in his broad chest. He inhaled deeply, drawing in her scent, brushing his nose dangerously close to the jagged crescent scar on her collarbone. "You are marked by a cur," Leander rumbled his voice, a dark velvet baritone that sent a shiver down Rosalind's spine. "You are brought here as fodder. Yet you stand before me, refusing the ancient laws of my kingdom. Do you have a death wish, little human? I have a life wish, your majesty." Rosalind replied, her hands bawling into tight fists at her sides. "My life belongs to me. A feral dog took my blood once, and I survived it. I will not bow to another wolf simply because he dresses in velvet and calls himself a king." The great hall erupted. Roars of fury echoed off the vaulted ceilings. Desmond drew his blade, the steel hissing in the cold air, preparing to sever her head from her shoulders. Leander raised a single gloved hand. Instantly, the hall fell back into a deathly, paralyzed silence. The king looked down at the fragile, bruised girl, who possessed more courage than his entire court of apex predators. For the first time in over 100 years, a genuine, terrifying smile curved the corner of King Leander's mouth. "Put your sword away, Desmond," Leander commanded, his eyes never leaving Rosalind's. He reached out his massive, calloused fingers, gently brushing a stray lock of brown hair behind her ear. The tenderness of the gesture shocked the court more than a public beheading would have. "This one is not for the mines. She is mine. I claim her." Chaos threatened to consume the court the moment King Leander uttered his claim. According to the private diaries of Maud Higgins, a headmaid who served the royal household for decades, the king's decision sent shockwaves through the aristocracy. A monarch claiming a human was rare. Claiming a defiant marked peasant was an intentional insult to the pure-blood Lycan females vying for his throne. Rosalind was not dragged to the dungeons, nor was she taken to the thrall quarters. Instead, she was escorted by the king's elite royal guard directly to the Sun Spire, the highest and most secure wing of Æthelgard Keep, exclusively reserved for the royal family. Her new chambers were vastly larger than her entire childhood home in Oakhaven. Silk tapestries depicting ancient Lycan victories adorned the stone walls, and a massive hearth roared with a warm, crackling fire. Yet to Rosalind, the gilded room was simply a prettier cage. 3 days passed without a glimpse of the king. During this time, Rosalind was bathed in scented oils, fitted into fine wool and velvet gowns, and fed meals rich enough to make her stomach ache. But she remained a prisoner. Her only regular visitor was Commander Desmond, who arrived each evening to lock her heavy oak door from the outside. "Do not think his mercy is a sign of weakness." "Human," Desmond warned her on the third evening, pausing at the threshold. His eyes flicked to the scar on her neck with clear disgust. "The king is fascinated by your insolence, much like a pup plays with a strange insect before crushing it. You are a disruption, Lady Vivian is already gathering the council to contest your presence. Then let her. Rosalind snapped back, standing by the iron-wrought balcony, refusing to look at him. I did not ask to be claimed. Tell your king to send me back to Oakhaven. You belong to the crown now. Desmond sneered, slamming the door shut. The heavy iron lock clicked into place. Hours later, the door opened again. Rosalind did not turn around, assuming it was a servant coming to stoke the fire. It was only when the overwhelming scent of pine and lightning filled the room that she spun around. King Leander stood in the center of her chambers. Stripped of his heavy royal mantle, he wore only a loose linen shirt and dark trousers, making him look less like a monarch and more like a lethal brawny warrior. You haven't eaten? Leander observed, his gaze dropping to the untouched tray of roasted pheasant and root vegetables on the silver table. I prefer not to be fattened up for a slaughter I do not understand, Rosalind replied, crossing her arms defensively. Leander let out a low chuckle, walking slowly toward the fireplace. If I wanted you dead, Rosalind Hayes, you would not have made it past the Great Hall. Your magistrate Arthur Croft sold you out to protect his own purse. You have nothing to return to in Oakhaven. Rosalind flinched, the confirmation of the town's betrayal, stinging bitterly. Why am I here, Your Majesty? You didn't claim me out of pity. Lycans don't know the meaning of the word. I claimed you because you are the first creature in a century to look at me and see a man, not a god or a monster, Leander said quietly. He closed the distance between them, his towering presence forcing Rosalind to tilt her head back to maintain eye contact. My court is filled with sycophants and vipers. Lady Vivian smiles at me while slipping silver-laced bribes to my generals. Desmond respects me only because I can best him in combat. You looked death in the face and insulted its wardrobe. Rosalind's breath hitched. Up close, Leander's eyes were entirely human, stripped of the feral glow. There was an ancient exhaustion behind them, a profound loneliness that caught her entirely off guard. You are playing a dangerous game, she whispered. Your nobility hates me. They see my mark as a disease. Let them, Leander growled, his voice dropping an octave as his eyes darkened. He reached out his knuckles, lightly grazing the scarred flesh on her collarbone. The touch sent a jolt of electricity straight to her core, but he didn't press forcefully. A lesser wolf left a physical mark on you. But you, Rosalind, have left a mark on my kingdom. I need someone at my side who isn't afraid to tell me no. I need you. Before Rosalind could process the weight of his confession, a frantic pounding echoed on the chamber door. It burst open, revealing a breathless, bloodied Desmond. My king! Desmond gasped, falling to one knee. Treason. The southern moon wells have been poisoned. Six of our elite guard are dead, coughing up black blood. Leander's demeanor shifted instantly from a vulnerable man to a terrifying apex predator. His bones popped as his jaw visibly hardened. Wolfsbane, concentrated, refined. Desmond reported his eyes darting to Rosalind with sudden vicious accusation. We found the supplier in the lower village. An apothecary named Olin Bates. Under torture, he confessed he was paid to distill the poison by a human. Desmond pointed a heavily armored finger directly at Rosalind. He named her Rosalind Hayes. The air in the room froze. Rosalind's heart plummeted into her stomach. She had never met Olin Bates, but the trap was brilliantly, flawlessly executed. Lady Vivian had made her move. Leander turned slowly toward Rosalind. The human vulnerability in his eyes was gone, replaced by the blazing, untamed fury of the Lycan King. Betrayal carries a distinct scent in the Lycan world, often reeking of sulfur and panicked sweat. As Desmond's accusation hung in the air, the royal chamber felt as though all oxygen had been siphoned away. Leander's eyes, moments ago, pools of profound human vulnerability, shifted into terrifying luminescent orbs of pure amber. His claws elongated, ripping through the linen of his sleeves. Rosalind backed away, her spine hitting the cold iron of the balcony doors. She was entirely defenseless. Olin Bates Leander repeated the name, rolling off his tongue like a death sentence. He stepped toward Rosalind, his massive frame blocking the hearth's light, casting her completely in his shadow. You claim this human who has been locked in my highest tower orchestrated the poisoning of my elite guard. The apothecary's ledger confirms it. Your Majesty, Desmond insisted, refusing to lower his gaze. He handed over a crumpled, blood-stained parchment. Her name is written here. The payment was made in heavy silver coins, minted in Oakhaven, her home village. Lady Vivian warned us the girl was a Trojan horse. We must execute her immediately before the rot spreads further. Historical transcripts recovered from the Royal Inquisitor Bartholomew Finch detail what happened next. Instead of striking Rosalind down, King Leander did the unthinkable. He took the parchment from Desmond, brought it to his nose, and inhaled deeply. Then he closed his eyes. To a lichen scent was more reliable than ink. Oakhaven silver Leander murmured, opening his eyes. Yet there is no scent of lavender or cold iron on this paper. There is only the faint, sickeningly sweet residue of nightshade perfume. Tell me, Desmond, who in my court favors nightshade, Desmond blanched. The heavy armor he wore suddenly seemed to weigh him down. Lady Vivian, sire. But surely take me to the apothecary, Leander commanded, his voice, brooking no argument. He turned back to Rosalind, his expression unreadable. Stay here. Lock the door from the inside, Rosalind. Do not open it for anyone but me. The dungeons beneath Ethelgard Keep were a labyrinth of misery, dripping with freezing water and echoing with the moans of the condemned. Olin Bates, a frail human with thinning hair, hung suspended by iron chains in the interrogation cell. When King Leander entered, the temperature in the room seemed to drop by 10 degrees. According to the sworn testimony of Clara Hughes, a scullery maid who was scrubbing the stone floors in the adjacent corridor, the king did not shout. His quiet fury was far more terrifying. Leander approached the battered apothecary, dismissing the torturers with a flick of his wrist. You named Rosalind Hayes, Leander said softly, gripping Olin's chin to force eye contact. I'm going to ask you once, and if you lie, I will not let you die. I will keep you alive and in agony for a century. Who paid you? Olin sobbed, blood bubbling past his lips. I never saw her face. Your Majesty. She wore a heavy velvet cloak, but she gave me the Oakhaven silver and said her name was Rosalind. She said the king had claimed her, and she needed the wolfsbane to protect herself. Did she smell of lavender? Leander pressed his claws, grazing the man's throat. No, no. She smelled of sweet flowers. Like rot disguised as perfume, Olin gasped. Leander released him, disgust radiating from his massive shoulders. The plot was amateurish, yet deadly effective, because it relied on the court's existing prejudice against humans. Lady Vivian had miscalculated. She assumed Leander's claim on Rosalind was merely a fleeting obsession, easily broken by the threat of treason. She did not realize the king had finally found his equal, and he was not about to let a jealous aristocrat tear her away. Leander turned to Desmond, who stood rigid by the iron door. Gather the council in the great hall. Wake them if you must. Surround the perimeter with the loyal guard. Anyone who attempts to flee is to be brought down. Meanwhile, back in the sun, Spire Rosalind paced the length of her gilded cage. The fire had burned down to glowing embers, casting long, dancing shadows across the tapestries. She knew she was a pawn in a game she barely understood. Lady Vivian wanted the throne, and she was using Rosalind as the perfect scapegoat to destabilize Leander's rule. If the guard lost faith in their king due to his association with a supposed traitor, Vivienne's faction could initiate a coup. Rosalind walked to the heavy oak door and pressed her ear against the wood. The corridor outside was eerily silent. Too silent. The two guards stationed outside her room earlier had not spoken a word in hours. A sudden, sharp scratching sound echoed from the lock. Someone was trying to break in. Rosalind's heart hammered against her ribs. Leander had told her to lock the door, but she was a human trapped in a castle of monsters. If they wanted, in a simple iron bolt would not stop them. She looked around the room for a weapon. The heavy silver tray on the table was too cumbersome. The iron poker by the fireplace, however, was solid, heavy, and hot. The heavy oak door splintered inward with a deafening crack. Three lichen assassins, completely shifted into their monstrous bipedal forms, stepped over the threshold. Their fur was matted, their eyes glowing with unnatural, sickly green light, a side effect of consuming a diluted form of the very wolf's bane they had used to poison the royal guard. It masked their scent and dulled their pain. "The little bird is waiting," the lead assassin snarled, his voice a guttural scrape of bone against stone. He lunged forward, his massive jaws snapping toward her throat. Rosalind did not scream. She swung the glowing hot iron poker with every ounce of strength she possessed. The heated metal struck the beast across the snout, the smell of burning fur and searing flesh instantly filling the room. The assassin howled in agony, stumbling backward. The other two roared, launching themselves at the fragile human who dared to fight back. Before they could reach her, the balcony glass shattered into a million pieces, and the night roared to life. Midnight brought not peace, but the deafening roar of war to the high towers of Æthelgard. King Leander crashed through the shattered balcony doors like a falling star, a massive blur of black fur muscle and lethal fury. He intercepted the two remaining assassins, mid-leap. The sheer impact of his collision shook the very foundations of the Sun Spire. The private memoirs of General Fenric, a loyalist who fought in the courtyard below, described that night as the Crimson Cleansing. The coup had begun prematurely. Lady Vivian, realizing her apothecary pawn had been discovered, triggered her backup plan. Her loyalists hopped up on pain-numbing herbs, stormed the keep attempting to slaughter Leander's inner circle, while he was supposedly distracted in the dungeons. She vastly underestimated his speed. Leander did not bother with weapons. He was the weapon. He snapped the neck of the first assassin with a sickening crunch, tossing the massive body aside as if it were a rag doll. The second assassin slashed wildly, his claws tearing a deep trench across Leander's shoulder. The king barely flinched. He grabbed the beast by the throat, hoisting him completely off the floor, and crushed his windpipe in a spray of dark blood. The room fell deadly silent, save for the king's heavy breathing and the crackle of the fire. Leander stood amidst the carnage, his chest heaving, his eyes blazing amber. He turned to Rosalind, who was still gripping the iron poker, her chest rising and falling rapidly. "Are you hurt?" Leander demanded, his voice thick with the residual adrenaline of the shift. "No," Rosalind said, her voice remarkably steady. She dropped the iron poker. It clattered loudly against the stone. She walked over to the king, ignoring the terrifying spectacle of his blood-soaked claws. Without a word of hesitation, she reached up and pressed her clean hand against his uninjured chest. "You're bleeding." Leander stared down at her, the feral glow in his eyes slowly receding into the warm human brown she had seen earlier. "It will heal. Vivian's forces are swarming the lower levels. The royal guard is fractured. Some remain loyal, others have been bought. We need to secure the Great Hall and cut the head off this rebellion. Take me with you, Rosalind demanded. Absolutely not. It's a slaughterhouse down there, Leander growled, stepping back to shield her from the doorway. Vivian is using my name to rally the xenophobes in your court, Rosalind fired back, stepping into his path. If you show up alone, they will say you murdered me to hide your shame. If I stand by your side, breathing defiant and unbothered, it destroys her narrative. You said you needed a partner who isn't afraid to say no. I am saying no to hiding in this tower. Leander stared at the fragile, unmarked human, profoundly struck by her tactical brilliance and unyielding courage. A slow, predatory smile crossed his face. Very well, my defiant little human. Stay close. The descent into the Great Hall was a nightmare of blood and clashing steel. Leander tore through Vivian's rebels with terrifying efficiency, acting as a living shield for Rosalind. When they finally burst through the heavy oak doors of the Great Hall, the fighting abruptly halted. Lady Vivian stood upon the dais, a silver dagger in her hand, surrounded by heavily armored traitors. Below her, Commander Desmond and a handful of loyal guards were backed into a corner, outnumbered, but fighting fiercely. Leander Vivian shrieked her composed facade, entirely shattered at the sight of him. Her eyes darted to Rosalind, widening in sheer disbelief. You bring the human pet to a war. You have truly lost your mind. I bring the future Queen of Æthelgard to witness the execution of a traitor. Leander's voice boomed through the vaulted hall, rich with absolute authority. The declaration sent a massive shockwave through the gathered lichens. Even Desmond paused his sword, lowered in shock. A marked human queen. The council will never allow it, Vivian spat, signaling her guards to attack. The council is dead or hiding, Vivian. I am the law, Leander roared. He didn't wait for her guards to advance. He moved faster than the eye could track a shadow of vengeance. He bypassed the foot soldiers, entirely leaping onto the dais. Vivian lunged with her silver dagger aiming for his heart. Rosalind, who had followed closely behind, noticed the hidden tripwire rigged across the stairs, a coward's trap. Leander the steps, she screamed. Leander twisted midair, avoiding the wire that would have sent a volley of silver-tipped crossbow bolts into his chest. He landed heavily disarmed Vivian with a brutal strike to her wrist and forced her to her knees. The remaining rebel guard, seeing their leader instantly overpowered and realizing their ambush had failed thanks to the human, dropped their weapons in surrender. The rebellion was crushed in less than an hour. The aftermath, however, changed the Lycan realm for eternity. According to the official archives written months later, the coronation was completely unprecedented. King Leander refused to take a Lycan mate. He stood before the remnants of his court, the scent of blood still fresh in the keep, and placed the silver-wrought crown of the Luna upon Rosalind's head. He did not demand she kneel. Instead, the towering king dropped to one knee before his human bride. You bear the mark of a lesser wolf, my queen, Leander said loudly, ensuring every aristocrat in the hall heard his vow. Let it serve as a reminder to them all. A lesser beast left a scar. But you, Rosalind, have conquered the king. He pressed his lips to her hand, pledging his life, his crown, and his monstrous heart to the baker's daughter from Oakhaven. The Lycan lords, witnessing the unbreakable bond between the apex predator and the fragile human, had no choice. One by one, the terrifying beasts of Æthelgard dropped to their knees, bowing not just to their king, but to the defiant human who had refused to break. And that is how a marked human peasant defied the most brutal Lycan king in history and rose to rule his kingdom. Rosalind proved that true power isn't about having the sharpest claws, but possessing an unbreakable spirit. Did her courage completely blow your mind? If you loved this epic tale of romance, betrayal, and absolute defiance, hit that like button, share this video with your fellow fantasy lovers, and subscribe for more incredible stories.